From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The nights are getting longer and the day is getting colder. It is high time to curl up with a book this holiday season. Becky Albertalli and Adam Silvera are authors of What If It's Us, a young adult novel about two teens who fall in love over a summer in New York City. Here are Becky and Adam's additions to our Southern Reading List. That's our series of authors and readers sharing books that define and reflect the South.
Like the first time I read, I just, you know, I remember crying while reading it and then crying while talking to her about reading it. I'm Becky Albertalli, and I am the author of Simon Versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which is the Lev Simon book, The Upside of Unrequited, Leah on the Offbeat, and the recently released What If It's Us, co-authored with Adam Silvera. So one Southern author that I have been really excited about these days is actually somebody who has spoken with GPB before, Nick Stone, who is from Atlanta, lives in Atlanta. Her first book is called Dear Martin, and it was one of my absolute favorites last year. But I'm really excited about her second book, On One Out, which came out on October 9th. And it is like a triple point of view story about three teenagers. It's a YA book. It is YA contemporary, and it is funny and voicey. And it's about kind of a very complicated relationship between these three teenagers.
We live in a pretty progressive area, as Mama likes to put it. And barring one incident in ninth grade involving some bigots picketing at one of my basketball games in deep South Georgia, the two-dad life has never really been a big deal. I'm so used to it not being a big deal, in fact, that Dr. Chin's shock catches me off guard. And now I'm really curious about Ray. It's crystal clear to me that Jupe was flirting with her, so Ray either didn't realize or didn't mind.
I discovered her. It was actually a really interesting story. It was kind of a meet cute. So when I first met Nick Stone, it was at my launch party for my debut book, Simon Versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. And she was there in the audience. I completely remember her. I had never met her before, but she asked a question. She's just so cool. Like, just her presence, everything about her is so cool. And she emailed me later, and you know, in the email, she had read my book at that point. And one of the things that she mentioned is she was a debut author herself, and she had a book deal with Crown Random House, and her book hadn't come out yet at the time. But she and I met up. It turns out, like, our kid, you know, our older sons are a week apart. And so I was lucky enough to read Dear Martin early, and it absolutely blew me away. Like, the first time I read, I just, you know, I remember crying while reading it. And then crying while talking to her about reading it and just trying to get through that conversation where I was trying to explain to her how much I loved her book. And then I don't think I was particularly articulate trying to explain that to her. But I do think she got the message because that book is gut-wrenching and it's a tough read. You know, it's kind of a Black Lives Matter themed book, and it is... it's not the most lighthearted topic to read about, but it's incredibly important to be reading those kinds of stories. And, you know, and Nick Stone has a way of telling those kinds of stories that's not only accessible in general, but she really is a way of connecting with teenagers, and including teens who maybe aren't super into reading. You know, like I would say... Nick's books are top of my list to hand to kids who, you know, may not be that bookworm kid with like a big stack of books on their nightstand. Like, speaking as that bookworm kid, I can confirm that her books are also for the bookworm kid or adult. But yeah, you know, she reaches a really broad audience, and that's something that's really special.
I vividly remember sitting at the edge of the bed in the studio that I was living in, like getting to like the last like 40 pages and watching everything come together. It's really masterfully told. Hi, I'm Adam Silvera, the author of More Happy Than Not and His Shoes All You Left Me, and They Both Die at the End, and I'm the co-author of the recently released What If It's Us. So one of my favorite books that takes place in the South is Where Things Come Back by John Corey Whaley, and I'm from New York City, and I'm like used to sort of like this like bustling energy, you know? And then to read this story that is like very atmospheric with its sort of slow crawl and knowing the people in your town versus juxtaposed with like me passing hundreds of strangers every day, you know, that was a really incredible experience for me. And then you throw this this like small town mystery into it as well, and it's very clear why it was an award-winning debut.
I was 17 years old when I saw my first dead body. It wasn't my cousin Oslo's. It was a woman who looked to have been around 50 or at least in her late 40s. She didn't have any visible bullet holes or scratches, cuts or bruises, so I assumed that she had just died of some disease or something, her body barely hidden by the thin white sheet as it awaited its placement in the lockers. The second dead body I ever saw was my cousin Oslo's. I recognized his dirty brown shoes immediately as the woman wearing the bright white coat grasped the metallic handle and yanked hard to slide the body out from the silvery wall. "That's him," I said to her. "You sure?" "Positive."
It was in 2012, so I would have been a little before I turned 22 years old. And that was around a time where I was finally reading more contemporary novels. Like, I grew up on fantasy and I was rereading Harry Potter over and over again. So I was like finally like getting introduced to new voices. And I was a bookseller at the time, so I was fairly tapped into which books were, you know, being released and stuff like that. But this book had gone completely under my radar. And then it, you know, went on to win the Michael L. Prince Award, which is celebrated for the best young adult novel of the year. And then it also won the William C. Morris Award, which was praised for the best young adult debut. And I'm like, whoa, what is this book that like had completely like missed my attention? And then I read it in one sitting, which is incredible for me because I am a very slow reader. I was underlining passages and highlighting. And I vividly remember sitting at the edge of the bed in the studio that I was living in, like getting to like the last like 40 pages and watching everything come together. It's really masterfully told. There's also this really touching brotherhood in the book, and just this character who Cullen Witter, the main character, who wants more for himself. And I remember feeling that way, you know, like I grew up not having a lot. I grew up wondering if I would ever sort of achieve my dreams and wanting sort of like to escape. And that energy was very easy to connect with. And and again, like this mystery was so layered and it's narrated both from Cullen's point of view, in addition to some like interstitial passages, and watching everything come together. It's an incredible collision, and I've read that book probably like 3 times now.
You feel like you're friends with her and just kind of walking with her through this really tough experience. It might be a little strange to say this, because this is a book that is very deliberately set in kind of an every town. So it doesn't have a specific setting in the book. But I'm going to say The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. So when you read the book, when you see the movie, it feels very Southern. And I think, you know, that's largely because Angie Thomas herself, the author, was born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi. And Garden Heights, the community, the town where the main character star lives and where the events of the book take place, is based on Angie's neighborhood in Jackson growing up. You know, it's this really rich story that feels just so complex and human. And you know, you get to know this main character, Star Carter, this little girl. She's not little, she's 16, but, you know, she's like, gosh, you get to know her so well. It feels like you feel like you're friends with her and just kind of walking with her through this really tough experience that she goes through. And, you know, by the end of the book, the way you feel kind of seeing Star off to go, you know, live the rest of her life. You know, it's one of those books where you're really satisfied. Like, it's a very satisfying ending. But it's kind of like that Harry Potter thing where you have to have a good cry because of the book itself and then a second cry because the book's over.
Becky Albertalli and Adam Silvera, authors of What If It's Us. Albertalli is author of Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which was made into the film Love, Simon earlier this year. In addition to recommending books for our Southern reading list, Becky and Adam spoke about their friendship and the process of writing a book together over many texts and emails.
So we met online in the beginning of 2013 after we sold our debut novels. So we share a literary agent, and it was really exciting. Our books were like announced in the same week as well, just a couple days apart. And shortly after that, we traded manuscripts with each other. So these were not like the final versions of our books, but you know, I got to read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda in December 2013, and Becky got to read my debut novel, More Happy Than Not. And we were just like geeking out over how much we loved these books. Like, I still have this memory of like going on a date that month and like not wanting to be on the date anymore because I just kept thinking about the book. And I had texted my agent, and he was like, go on your date, like the book's gonna be there. And like the date was not great, and I was like, I could have been home reading this book. So no more like life advice from my agent. But so it was like this really special feeling. And then we were just like emailing each other over the holidays as we read each other's books.
Yeah, and it was one of those like really fast friendships that like clicked into place right away. And so, you know, we started talking about, you know, the book idea that eventually became What If It's Us. We started talking about that in like February of 2014. We still had not met in person, but at this point, and this is just from like December to February, our like email correspondence had escalated to the point where, you know, we were sharing some of the like very embarrassing, detailed stories from, you know, just earlier experiences, earlier dating experiences, or, you know, in my case, earlier experiences of wanting to date and not getting any action. But, you know, just the different ways that played out. And, you know, and I think it was from one of those stories that, you know, there's just this like seed of an idea in, you know, a really embarrassing story from my 20s that like hit Adam in a certain way. And Adam was the one who was like, you know, we should write a YA book about misconnections.
Yeah. And then we just continued to develop who these boys were. Like, we had their names like very like soon after that. And their names didn't change. Like, they were always Arthur and Ben. I remember, like, Becky had Arthur before I had Ben. Like, for the longest, it was, like, Arthur and Guy was, like, my stand-in name. But then once I was, like, Ben, like, that and clicked. And then we just continued to sort of, like, throughout the years, up until we finally wrote the book last year in 2017, like, we were just, like, how cool would it be if this happened? And how can we push the story this way? And so we were finally in position to finally write the book. So I remember the first time when I met Becky, it felt like a first date because like it's like, you know, especially like if it, like an online dating, I guess, would be the sort of like equivalence of this here, where it's like, yeah, you've been exchanging so many messages and everything seems to be going well. But it's like, oh, my God, what if you like hate me in real life? And what if I say something stupid that's like irreparable? And yeah, so it just like I remember like we met like on the corner, like up until the day that we met, we also hadn't even been on the phone until earlier that day. And yeah, so then it was just like, but then we just like finally met. And I think it was like outside like a Rite Aid or CVS or something, and where Becky was standing when I first saw her. And it was like, yeah.
To make it a really special first date too, like that day that we met, I was like 8 weeks pregnant. Wasn't planning to tell anybody yet, but like for, you know, this is with my second son. For each of my pregnancies, there's been one day where I've just been really, really sick all day. And I was lucky, like only one day per pregnancy. It was that day. So I remember that first phone call, the first time I ever heard Adam's voice. I was like, hi, I'm Becky. I've been throwing up all day. I still want to meet up. I'm not sick. Here's what's up. And so Adam... I remember, you know, and Adam was an absolute sweetheart, of course. And so our first date was like sitting in a diner with me sort of picking around the edges of like a pancake or something, you know, just and like drinking water and trying to be present as a human being on Earth without ruining, you know, a very important meet cute in my life, what would turn out to be like a very important friendship, like in my life. That's a strange thing that happened on that day.
Yeah, you were pregnant with another man's baby on our first date.
I know. I know. I'm sorry, Adam.
Respect.
The different details that show up in the book are, you know, and some of them are very consciously drawn from our own experiences, our lives, our friendship, or other things like unrelated to our friendship, but that are still a part of our lives. But what surprises me is we keep finding little details that, you know, are pulled from our own experiences, but like very much accidentally. And sometimes we don't realize it until, you know, after the book has been finalized for months.
Yeah, like my character, Ben, he is going through a breakup at the beginning of the book. And I was in a relationship that was like approaching its end for sure, whether I wanted to like acknowledge that or not at the time. And when I was like reading it back recently, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, no, I was definitely going through this. Like when I was writing these sections, which was just so wild. Like, yeah, it's just writing is therapeutic that way, whether you realize it or not.
That was Becky Albertalli and Adam Silvera, authors of What If It's Us? It's a YA novel about a summer romance in New York City, and it's about to be made into a movie. And that's our show for today. We would love to hear from you. Which books are on your list to give or receive this holiday season? You can leave us a message at 404-500-9457 or reach us on Twitter or on our Facebook group. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, and The Raven Taylor. Tyler Morris is our engineer, and Amy Kiley is our senior producer. We get help from Don Smith. Our theme song is by Alex Crispin and Marshall Ruffin. This is On Second Thought.